for me? Thank you. Man, I'm glad you guys are here. I love our church, don't you? Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know, it's exciting to come together for baptism. I mean, there's nothing like it. And you might, man, I'm thinking about this morning, and I was thinking about Philip down in Samaria when he brought the word of God to the whole city of Samaria, and there was great joy. It didn't say there's little joy. There was great joy in the city. I mean, the promise of Jesus Christ that was brought great joy to that whole city. Can you imagine a whole town turned around and knowing about Christ? Wouldn't that be exciting if Brownwood and our whole central Texas got a hold of the truth that Jesus is Lord? Man, we'd be celebrating every week. It'd just be amazing. Well, we do celebrate in churches all over the community, so it's exciting. You know, and also I'm thinking about on the day of Pentecost, when 120 people received the promise of the Holy Spirit from God, they were so excited. There were 3,000 devout Jews in that area right then, that moment, that had come together for that celebration. 3,000 of them, they saw such excitement, they thought they had been drinking. They thought they was all drunk. Man, so why can't we get excited when we realize that Jesus is Lord? Man. So this morning, I just want to share a few things with you right quick as we move along. I want to answer some questions this morning about baptism. What is baptism? The word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, and it means to immerse or dip. So to baptize something means to completely submerge it in liquid. And I was reading this morning to the candidates in the back before they came on about water baptism. About 50 AD came out a guidebook. The Jewish believers wrote a little guidebook of how to do things in a church service, and one of them was how to baptize. And one, it said that you're to baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And it says you're to baptize them in living water, which that then meant flowing water. So they were supposed to take them out to the creek and baptize them in the river, in the creek, water that's flowing. And it says if you can't baptize them in cold, then baptize them in warm water. And I thought, aren't y'all glad that we've got a warm baptism this morning? I mean, if we went, people are saying, I just want church like they did in the old days. Nah, well, there's some improvements, I think, you know. But anyway, it's so exciting to come together. But baptism means to immerse completely. It represents something. And in the biblical sense, to baptize a person means that you put that person completely underwater and immediately raise him or her up out of the water. Immediately. Representing the immediate thing that takes place when you ask Jesus into your heart, your spirit's alive unto God immediately, that quick. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and it's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word, when it says dividing asunder, it's not like a hacking, it's like whack, man. The moment you ask Jesus into your heart, wham, I mean instantaneously, you're eternally changed. It's not having to work it out. It's not having to do good and earn your salvation. You couldn't do enough. You couldn't quit enough to be saved. It's believing in Jesus Christ. So that's exciting. So according to the Bible, that water baptism that we're doing today is a symbolic act whereby a new Christian identifies with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It's a public profession of a person's repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a way of giving outward testimony of the inward work of God on the inside of you. What does it signify? You know, when God baptizes you into Christ, you know, I need to clarify this, that there is a baptism that we are all, that links us all together. Over in Ephesians, it talks about one baptism, one Lord, one faith, one God. And there's one baptism that links you and I all together. You may attend another church and just here visiting, but there's one baptism that unites us all together, you and I, as brothers and sisters. It's spelled out in 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. By one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You know, when you ask Jesus into your heart, it's like he takes you by the lapels and immerses you in the blood of the Lamb. You become a part of the body of Christ, and the blood washes you white as snow. And so when God baptizes you into Christ, you become a new creature, a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5 says. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and it doesn't happen in your flesh. How many of you realize when you asked Jesus into your life that Sunday morning, you went home and looked in the mirror, you looked the same? The wrinkles are still there. The hair is still thinning. You look the same. But on the inside, you became alive unto God. Your spirit became alive unto God. And Scripture tells us, amen. That's exciting. Scripture tells us that we have an inheritance reserved in heaven, guarded by the very power of God. Not guarded by what you do or don't do, right or wrong. It's guarded by the power of God. You're doing right because you want to live out the life you have on the inside. Wow. And so when your heart is washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, your spirit's made alive unto God. Now there's an amazing thing that happens. An amazing thing. Maybe you haven't realized it completely. An amazing thing happens when you give your life to Jesus, when you confess Him as Lord. You now have the ability to communicate with God. He's your Father. Access has been given to you because when He looks at you through Jesus. By the blood of the Lamb, you are made right before God. You can communicate with your Father. When He looks at you, He doesn't see sin. He sees Jesus in you. Oh, that's exciting. So you get to communicate with God. You also get to hear His voice. You get to love and obey Him. Man, you get to overcome sin, and you get to walk out your salvation with God because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The devil's a liar and a thief. Quit believing those old lies. You're not the same person you were before. Now you've been redeemed, bought back, paid for with a price, a precious price. So water baptism, symbolically, it identifies us as new creatures in Christ Jesus. And when we go down, by going down in the water, we illustrate the old man is dead to sin, buried by faith in Christ, and as a result, free from our old master, who? Satan. You are free of the devil at that point when you ask Jesus into your heart. He's no longer your Lord. Wow. So by being raised up out of the water, we show our new man has been raised by the Spirit in the likeness of Jesus' resurrection. You know, the Bible tells us to draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, I think it would be silly for us to interpret that pure water in the passage to mean that this baptism water is pure from all impurities. It's been clean. We filtered it. You know that it has to, the cleaner the better you're purified. I mean, it's not talking about a natural being purified in water. It's symbolic, referring to the days when the Israelite priests were required to wash with water before ministering to the tabernacle. That's found in Exodus, the 30th chapter. You see, God requires clean hands and a pure heart for all those who would partake in His holiness. Now listen to Psalms 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully? See, believers are sanctified and cleansed, and the Scripture tells us in Ephesians 5, by the washing of water by the Word. That as you receive the water, it brings a washing and a cleansing to your heart. Jesus said, now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. The Word of God is what cleanses us. The Word of God is what sets us free. Oh, praise God. So it's through Christ's resurrection that we have the hope of salvation, because Paul said, if Christ be not resurrected, then our faith's in vain. But He has. So, you know, the next question is water baptism, is it important? Is it really important? Water baptism is very important. You know why? It's your first step of obedience to walking with God. First step of obedience of your faith. A new Christian should definitely be baptized because the Bible tells us so, right? Tells us to be baptized. So that's what we do. Water baptism helps the new believer understand the spiritual birth that we have in Christ. The washing of water by the Word of God, that we've been made alive. It teaches us that its salvation is by faith alone, and it's a testimony of our salvation, being baptized in water. Who should be baptized? My last question. Well, the Bible agrees in all the accounts that everyone who believes should be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And even a child who's old enough to understand the significance of repentance and faith in Christ can be baptized. When a child knows that Jesus is Lord, they can be baptized. It demonstrates obedience to the command that Jesus gave us, and it's evidence of his saving faith. Now listen, although water baptism in itself does not save us, it does identify us with Christ Jesus. It's symbolic, amen, of the one true baptism. It's symbolic of the one true baptism that saves our soul, that by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Amen. Now, I wanted to share one last thing with you that I think is so exciting. You know, I was sharing with the candidates this morning about the variety of baptisms that you see in the Scripture. John's baptism was different than what we're seeing today. He was looking forward to the Messiah coming. It was called a baptism of repentance. The Jewish people, they wanted to keep their hearts right and ready for the Messiah to come. Now we're looking back at the Messiah who came, and we've repented in our hearts and got our hearts right, and then we're baptized because of Jesus. But listen, even Jesus was baptized, but it wasn't the same baptism we're seeing today. He didn't have to repent of sin. He had no sin to turn from. He was fulfilling destiny. He was stepping into the Levitical priesthood, the high priest. And at that time, men had to be about 30 years old to step into the priesthood. They had to be ceremonially washed. They had to be anointed to step into that position. Well, Jesus, he had to be ceremonially step into that position by being baptized. John baptized him. But listen, God anointed him. God anointed him as the Son of God with the Holy Spirit and with power. So that's pretty supernatural. But one other thing I wanted to share with you this morning. When John the Baptist baptized Jesus, up until that moment, he wasn't 100% sure that Jesus was the Messiah. God had given him a prophetic word and said, the man that you baptize and you see the Holy Spirit descend on him, that's my son. I want to read that account. John 1:25. The Pharisees who had been sent asked him, if you aren't Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize? And John told them, I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. See, this was after he baptized him. He's sharing with them fulfilling of Scripture, fulfilling of prophecy. This encounter took place in Bethany, an area east of the Jordan River where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. Listen, verse 31. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting on him. Verse 33. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. Wow. He fulfilled prophecy. And listen, you that are here today, man, you know, the world doesn't understand why we're so excited in here. The world doesn't understand your faith until they step up and receive Jesus as well. But man, once you meet Jesus, there's no going back, is there? There's nothing that compares. Now listen, we're going to have a great time today baptizing. We're going to have a great time of fellowship after the service. But listen, if you haven't technically, if you're sitting here this morning, you say to me, Pastor Stan, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he came to this earth and he lived a perfect life. And I do believe he died on that cross for me. And I do believe that in 3 days God raised him from the dead. But Pastor, I have never asked Jesus into my heart. Man, we can get that right today. And you connect with me after this service. And I want to lead you in a prayer. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Listen, as a testimony last week, you know, in the Easter service, we had a lot of folks here. I mean, we had over 770 people here. But I'm going to tell you, amen, that's exciting. The most exciting thing is that we had 9 people give their life to Jesus. That's worth shouting about. That's worth getting excited about. So I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Christian right now, and he's going to bring the candidates up. You're going to get an opportunity to meet these guys. So you guys, come on up.